Lord wanted me to share today, and what I was trying to do was bring these two thoughts as one sermon, but I was finding that a little difficult. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to bring you one of the thoughts, what I say, the one that is more urgent, and the other I will leave until next week. If you have your Bibles, or we might be able to get it up on the screen, Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. Luke 12, 16 to 21. And then he told them a story. This is Jesus. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. And he said to himself, What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. And then he said, I know. I will tear down my barns, and I will build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and I say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. You will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. This really is a gospel message. And the title, as you might see coming up, is 25,550 Days to Live. The scripture that I've just read, I sometimes refer to it at funerals. It's not necessarily something that I would pick for the beginning of the new year, the beginning of this decade, 2020. But I did not want to come to this service with a sermon that was going to be pleasing to the ear, because it's the beginning of the year. I did not want to come and tell you that this year is going to be better than it was last year, even though it might be. I didn't want to build you up this morning so that in the middle of the year you're flat on your face. I don't want to tell you that because you are a follower of Jesus Christ that you will not face trouble in the year ahead. Because even Jesus told us that in this world we will face it. What I want to tell you is what the Lord told me. A man called me a few days ago, and he was panicking a bit. He called me several times because he didn't get me the first two times. And he was telling me about his life, and he was saying he doesn't know what is going on in his life. And he wanted to meet up with me for me to tell him what is going on in his life. I don't know. He was telling me that from the very moment that he accepted Jesus Christ as Lord in his life, everything began to go wrong. His business failed. The people that used to be his friends left him. They did that with Jesus. He was attacked spiritually. Nothing in his life was going right. But as I said before, Jesus reminds us that in this life we will have trouble. He shared with his disciples that the years ahead, that trouble was going to come, that they would face trouble in the years ahead if they were followers of his. And he told them in the book of John 16, 32 to 33, he says, I've told you these things. I'm telling you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, he says, you will have trouble. He says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. That's another sermon for another time. So really, what I wanted to do was just hear what God wants to say to us at the beginning of this decade, 2020. And perhaps this message that I'm about to bring is not for everyone, but I can guarantee you that it's for some people in here. Because God speaks. We hear his voice. I'm going to tell somebody that even today, God is still speaking today. Somebody will say, the guy will say that I'm speaking to. He says, I don't hear God anymore. He says, I want to find out if it is me. And say, brother, it's probably you. Because God is always speaking. We just need to be in the position to hear him. Just over a week ago, you remember we were just getting into Christmas. Does anybody remember that? It seems so long ago now, doesn't it? But we were on our way, Chris and I, in the car. We were on the motorway heading towards Wolverhampton to spend time with the family. And you know those journeys, those long journeys, you have time to just talk and just think. And we were having conversation about life. And it suddenly dawned on both of us how brief life is. I don't know if anyone has ever been in that position. For a moment you think, oh my gosh, where's all the time gone? And we're in this new decade of 2020. And a decade, I'm going to tell you, is a lifetime. And you ask yourself, where has all the time gone? What have I done with my life? What have I achieved? If you're young like me, you're saying, I just can't wait to get a little older. It felt as if I'd closed my eyes, gone to bed, and opened them, and I'm in 2020. People often say to me, time is short. Do people say that to you? And I bet you, you try to work it out. You say, I wonder if as time is going on, time is getting shorter. But time does not change. The seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days and the nights, they do not get shorter. Not any shorter than they were 2,000 years ago. But I believe what Chris and I were receiving was a sudden realization, or can I say a revelation, of the brevity of life. The shortness of life. The 70 years that we have been given is not a very long time at all. And there is much to be done. Some of you have said, and perhaps you're still saying today, if I could only turn the clock back, I would do things differently. I would have served God earlier. There is something to be said about mind time and clock time. And research has proven that the older we get, time seems shorter. Things seem smaller. Is that the case? Does this happen? Perhaps our minds are expanding with age, perhaps. Maybe it's true what that they say, that the older you get, the wiser you become. When I left Jamaica at the age of 9, I would tell you that I lived in a very large complex, an estate, off a very large, busy main road. Several houses on the complex, and the days were never ending for me. I'd arrive back from school, and it seemed to me that I had all the hours that God could give. I'd go fishing, and I just had so much time to do social activities. When I returned at the age of 21, I didn't recognize the place I used to live. That busy main road was not even a main road. I don't even know if it was a road. Because the time that I was there, I've got to tell you, I did not see a car at all. The large estate that I thought that I lived in, with the very large houses, the houses were very small, and the estate wasn't even an estate. But it was a small compound. And as I ponder on this subject of life and time, I felt the Holy Spirit urging me to bring this message today. It seems as if there was an urgency from the Holy Spirit to bring this thought this first Sunday of this new decade, 2020. And I heard the Holy Spirit saying to tell you that there are things, I'm prophesying now, that there are things that you have been thinking about, procrastinating on. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying to me to tell you to get them done now. There are things that you've been holding on to. The Holy Spirit says, release them. There are things that you've been putting off doing. God says, do them now. The people you need to forgive, God says, forgive them now. The praises, yeah, that you've been holding back for even a year, God says, release it unto him now. And I kept hearing Psalm 115, verses 17 to 18. That could not get out of my head. And it says, it is not the dead who praise the Lord. Yeah, those who go down to the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord both now and evermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what we have to do. We have to praise him while we have breath. And God says, do it now. There is no time like the present, because life is short. And many of us have taken life for granted. We have. We go to bed and we expect to wake up the next morning. We live our lives, some of us, recklessly, thinking we can do whatever we want, not realizing that truly our lives are not our own. We sail through life, not even taking a moment to think about it, to think about life, to take stock of it. One thing I know for sure is that life is short, and one day, if the church is not taken up before in the rapture, then life will come to an end. One of the many scriptures in the Bible that speaks about the brevity of life is James chapter 4 and verse 14. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. One thing I know, that life is short. And this life that we live is measured by time. And because of our human nature, our understanding, which are limited, we cannot truly quantify time. We cannot measure it. It's difficult for us to work it out sometimes. But with the Lord, however, his time scales and his time frame, his measurements are very different from ours. We are constrained by time. We're limited by time. Time is short. Never enough time in the day. 2 Peter 3 verse 8 says this, that with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. God is not governed or bound by time like us, because he is God. He is before time even began. He was, and he is, and he will be. He will be there even after time has ended. He is from everlasting, the Bible says, to everlasting. He is the starter and the finisher. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. Our God. Time is of essence. And life is short. We've been allocated, I don't know if you've thought about this before, but we have been allocated 70 years. Psalm 19 verse 10 says, our days may come to 70 years. May come to 70 years or 80. If our strength endures. This is what the scripture says. Yet the best of them, like I said before, are but trouble and sorrow. For they quickly pass and we fly away. Now when you begin to look at life like this, in the numbers of days that we have been allocated, look at this, 25,550 days. Now, when you put it like this, it brings it home to you. You realize how short time is. Lifetime is no guarantee, but if these numbers are correct, it means that I, Brian Jones, have used up approximately 20,193 days as of today. Of the allocated time that I've been given. And it seemed to me that I'd just left school. And the reason I want us to think about our life as we enter this new decade is because at some time we must ask ourselves, how am I using the time that I've been given? How have I prepared for it? What have I done with my life so far? What have I done? What impact have I made? What good have I done? What legacy am I working on to leave behind? I can guarantee you this. There are many graves in this country and across the world that are filled with great books that were never written. Graves filled with stories that were never told. Amazing songs that were never sung. Buildings that were never built. Groundbreaking ideas that never surfaced. Souls that were never saved. Bodies that were never healed. Do what you must do. And I hear the Spirit of God says, do it now. Don't procrastinate. Get on and do it. Because time is short. If you have been waiting to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, if you've been waiting to live this abundant life, do it now. Because tomorrow is not guaranteed. Tomorrow may be too late. This is what the scripture says. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Behold, now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, behold. Now is the day of salvation. Now. Not tomorrow, not even actually the next 5 minutes, but I hear the Spirit saying, probably this is the urgency. The Holy Spirit is saying, do it now. There are things that you cannot hold back on. There is an urgency. I hear the Spirit of God saying that there is an urgency at this end time because our lives is not guaranteed. We're looking forward to the next 10 years in this decade, but God says the people of God that sits here in front of me, they need to do whatever they need to do now. Don't wait. And I want to encourage you to begin to celebrate life. I want to encourage you to celebrate each other. This isn't something we do very well. Tell somebody how good they are. Is that possible? Encourage somebody. Give. Forgive. Tell somebody you love them. Help somebody in need. We tend to wait until the person is dead before we say how good they are. I don't know if anyone has ever been to a funeral. I can't really understand that. The worst people in this world, some people that I've buried, I've heard some great things said about them. I'm thinking to myself, where is that coming from? We wait to tell somebody how great they can't even hear you. Tell somebody now how good they are. Encourage them in the Lord. This is what we need to take on, I believe, in this new decade. We want to come into the realm of encouragement. Encourage your brother. Encourage your sister in the Lord. Can we do that? You know, when you begin to encourage somebody and tell them how great they are, I'm going to tell you that, well, if they were down there on the floor, they're going to rise above their situation And God encourages us to encourage others. Hallelujah. We wait until the eulogy is read before we really know about a person. What are you doing with your life? What are you living for today? Young people live in the future. Older folks live in the past. But wise people live in the present. So if you knew that your time was short, would you do things differently? Jesus said that I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I've got to tell you something from what I've seen. There are Christians who are alive but are not living. We need to begin, saints, to live this abundant life, because you have, that's the reason that Jesus came. He says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You can know success. You can know prosperity as you dwell in the Word of God. We're encouraged to dwell in the Word. You can know victory in your life. You can know the blessings of God. God, I believe, is saying to us that we must begin to live the abundant life now. Begin to live it now. Rise above your circumstances. Rise above the pain. Rise above the backbiting that you're facing and begin to live an abundant life in Christ. I believe this is what God wants you to hear today. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 6 to 21, Jesus tells a parable of a man who prepared his life here on earth, but he failed to make plans for heaven. I believe I'm speaking to some people here. Planning everything on earth. But the most important thing, they're not even considering, they're not even looking at. This man was a rich man. He had a good year. His business had done well. And he thought to himself, what do I do now? I've done so well. I don't have even enough space to store everything that I've gained. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down those old barns and I'll build bigger and newer ones, and I'll store the stock in there, because life for the future look well. Everything looks okay. I'm just going to put my feet up. I'm just going to have a glass of wine. Things are going to be good. I'm just going to relax, because the future, it seems as if it's taken care of. And then God says something to him. God says that you're a fool. Fool, because tonight your soul is required of you. It's interesting, when I looked at this word fool in the dictionary, it tells me that it is one who lacks good sense or judgment. He planned for today, but he did not plan his tomorrow. The Spirit of God saying that there are people in here that they need to do things now. Don't wait. Your lives that you need to give to Jesus, you need to give it now. The life that you're not living, that is not Christ-like, God says you need to change that now. There's some praises that you've been holding back on. God says you need to release it now. There are some business ideas that you have. I hear the Spirit of God say that you need to just bring that to the surface and begin to work on it. There's some people that you have to give to. God says give to him. Give to them. Because as you give,
they are blessed. As you release your giving, God says, as you give, you shall be given unto. This man, he planned for everything else, but the most important thing, he had no plans for. His soul, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, was Matthew chapter 6, was taken. In Matthew chapter 6, 33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. As we enter this new decade, God says, seek him first. Seek him first. Put everything else behind you, but seek after God. You will definitely find him. That's where the blessings of God comes. When you put him first in everything, I've got to tell you that everything else that you require will follow. This is the word of God. Seek him first. Seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and everything else will be given unto you. What are you doing with your life? What are you living for today? Young people live for the future. Older people live in the past. But wise people live in the moment, in the present. Amen. Can you just bow your head? Can I have the keyboard player? I wasn't going to bring you an elaborate message just because it's the first Sunday of this new decade, but I just wanted to bring you what God is saying. And perhaps for many of you here, you don't really know God, you're just existing. For many of you, you haven't plans for the future, and you haven't planned for today. None of us knows whether we will actually make it into tomorrow. We trust in God that we will, but it's not guaranteed. Even though we've been given the 70 years, and for good measure, some of us 80. But today God says, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Many of us, we just come into church Sunday after Sunday. We don't truly know God. But here is a great opportunity for you to say, Lord, in this new decade, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to find you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to be in your word. I'm going to follow you. This new decade of 2020. God, I'm going to make changes. I'm not going to live like I used to live. I'm not going to live based on my emotions, but I'm going to live based on your word. If there is somebody in here, and I believe God is, I really believe that God is speaking in this place. And this might sound a bit morbid at this beginning of this decade to be bringing a sermon like this, but the reason I believe God is speaking to you, because he loves you so much and he wants you to be in his kingdom, serving him joyfully. I wonder, as our heads are bowed, if there is somebody in here that would like to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. If you would like to, just raise your hands and I will pray with you. What a great way to begin this decade. I see your hands. I see your hands. God bless you. Is there anybody else? You say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow you. you can put your hands down.
Come to Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the Bible says that the angels rejoice.